And hi, hello everybody from our Albany studios on 1240 Joe Radio. TJ Mathewson with you a little earlier than I thought, but we're on the air at a reasonable hour, thank goodness. Welcome into the Sherwin-Williams Beaver post-game call-in show here on 1240 Joe Radio. TJ Mathewson with you. Dale Hummel helping out on the phone line. See, we already got a couple of callers, Andy and Ryan. Ryan and Andy, in that order specifically. That's why I reworded it. We got to get the order correct before we get going here on the Beaver post-game call-in show. If you have any comments, the Beavs lose to the Trojans. Man, I was there tonight. First game I've gotten to attend as a member of the media at Research Stadium. Just first game at Research Stadium for me, period. Was blown away by the atmosphere. I thought it was phenomenal. And I know it hasn't probably always been like that. I didn't go to any games during the Gary Anderson era. I'm sure it would have been much different. But I will say, for probably everyone working at the university, all the fans there, all the players, all the coaches, they could not have been more happy with that environment they got against the USC Trojans. The Beavers played up to par, but a few too many turnovers on offense, 4 interceptions for Chance Nolan. And those turnovers were the difference in the game. USC 10 points directly off those turnovers, and those interceptions really did spoil the fantastic effort from the defense, the best effort of the season for the Trent Bray-led defense. Easily. I don't even think it's close. I don't even know if they got flagged at all. I can go look. I'm going to look right now. I don't think they got flagged for anything, which is impressive enough when you're facing, you know, arguably the best offense in college football, which SC did not look like the best offense in college football today. Caleb Williams looked really rattled in the pocket. 16 of 36 passing, 180 yards, just one touchdown, but he got it done when he needed to. And he made that throw to Jordan Addison, and Jim Wilson was saying it on the postgame show before us, on the network postgame show. You know, he was inaccurate all night, but when they needed him, boom, he put a dart right in the end zone. Perfect timing, and the Biletnikoff winner, Jordan Addison, reels it in, and USC would not relinquish that lead in just a phenomenal effort on both sides. A phenomenal game, a phenomenal environment. If you're a Beaver fan, I wouldn't be too down about this outcome. I thought, you know, if an AP writer stayed up and watched this game, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, you could say, yep, so Oregon State shouldn't even be considered for the top 25 this week. Now, we know they probably won't be in the top 25 this week. But if you actually stayed up and watched that game, you would know Oregon State's a top 25 team. I don't even think you need an AP ranking to confirm that. You watch that game, yeah, Oregon State matches up very well with the number 7 team in the country. Even if you don't think USC is the number 7 team in the country, they're still pretty good. And Oregon State went toe-to-toe with them and was 4 minutes away from holding that lead. But when they needed it, Caleb Williams delivered on that final drive, I believe, 11 plays, 84 yards. Caleb Williams taking the Trojans down the field and winning with that touchdown to Jordan Addison. All right, if you want to get in on the action, the Sherwin-Williams Beaver postgame call-in show, the number to call or text on the Downward Dog phone line, University Honda text line, 541-497-5356. Again, that's 541-497-5356. Downward Dog phone line, University Honda text line. Ryan is first. We'll go to Ryan on the Downward Dog phone line. Good evening, Ryan.
Hey, TJ. Ryan calling from Redmond here. I haven't called in since the Fresno game. I just have a couple things to say. First of all, as you just kind of mentioned, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Oregon State wouldn't be considered for a top 25 team when they just held USC to 17 points. That is mind-blowing to me that we held them to 17 points. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be the lowest point output all season for USC. And as you could tell tonight, there's a reason they're not going to come back here.
Yeah, no. And I just think they should still be in the conversation. I mean, Oregon State held them to 17, and of course their offense didn't get off the ground, and there's a couple things I want to say about that, the reasons for it. I think that Jam showed himself as the starting running back tonight.
I agree.
I think that he really came out and show what his capabilities are and what he can do on the field. And I it's crazy to me that he's not the starter at this point.
So, Ryan, one second on point. I'm going to take back my point of fully agreeing with you. I think it would be a good idea for him to maybe be 1B. Because if you look about it this way, and Jim Wilson broke this down as well, you have Damian and Fenwick, who are very similar in the styles of rushers they are. They're both bigger guys, more physical, going to run through a guy. But Jam, as you noticed tonight, Jam, I mean, he is quick. He is so quick. And you saw that burst going through the hole tonight. And, you know, maybe he won't start outright, but definitely you see what he brings to the table and what is different than those other running backs, and which will, in the end, force Jonathan and company to give him more carries.
Absolutely. I mean, his production tonight was off the charts. I mean, when you have him in there versus any of the other running backs, we had success. And so it's hard for me to say that one of the other two should be the starters. But on that same point, Chance Nolan, I've been on his side since the beginning. I really have been. And I think he does a great job. But tonight, something got in his head, and he just couldn't quite make the completions. He had four interceptions. I mean, that's just unacceptable to me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is not acceptable. I thought he was really at fault for the first two interceptions. I did not see the fourth one. I mentioned I was there. But to get back here in time, as soon as Jordan Addison scores the touchdown to get out in front of the traffic and make sure I'm not stuck there to get back here in time for the show, I did not see Chance's fourth interception. I thought his third one where he's throwing deep, I mean, he could have made a little bit of a better throw, but I think that was more of just a good play by the defensive back. So I'll chalk those two of those interceptions up directly to Chance Nolan. But yeah, I mean, you can't win a game with turning the ball over four times and not turning the other team over any times. And that's really a reason why USC has been so successful this season. They're now plus 14 on the turnover margin. That's been most of the difference in their games.
Right. And just to kind of add on to that as well, I mean, the fumble inside the 5-yard line, that should have been Oregon State's ball within the 5-yard line. The fact that we just can't hustle to that ball is, it'll haunt me for years to come, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't see, did you see how far that ball got away? That was on the other side of the stadium for me. I didn't see the ball go out. I didn't see how far away it might have bounced from the rusher. I forget who fumbled.
TJ, it was 3 feet in the air. It was our ball to have, and we just somehow didn't come up with it, and that was a game changer. And I understand that sometimes just right place, right time helps us out with, you know, getting that possession, but tonight there's just a couple things that could have gone our way that would have given us the win, It's hard. Really hard for me to stomach at this point.
And again, that's just turnover luck for you. A lot of turnovers is luck based, and that's you know, my reasoning on the tailgate show today. I was like, you know, eventually for USC, the turnover luck is gonna turn. They're gonna have a game where they're maybe minus two or minus three in the turnover margin. I thought that could be tonight, but the Trojans, like you just mentioned, able to get a good bounce there on that fumble and then keep the ball really out of harm's way, which is just so surprising me because Caleb Williams was not accurate at all tonight, and I'm really shocked the ball did not find a beaver.
I mean Caleb Williams. Last week when he played Fresno State, I thought this is the Heisman winner. I thought he was the guy. And this week I thought that our defense somehow stepped up and made him look like he played for Portland State. It blows my mind. And somehow we still give up the big play and just make mistakes. But at the end of the day, I guess my point is that Oregon State should still be considered for the top 25 because we played it close with USC, played a really good game, just some little things that would have gone our way, and we come out the victor. But I, as I've said before, I'm a longtime Oregon State fan, and something I'm used to at this point.
All right, Ryan, I appreciate the call in tonight. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
All right, that was good to hear from Ryan. We have Andy online, too. We'll go to Andy now. Andy, good evening.
Young TJ, how we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? Probably not as well.
Yeah, not quite as well. I want you to buckle up for this one. It's going to be a doozy, but I just want to say, obviously, Ryan there, I think he made some great points. He's clearly had a few pops, but hey, the guy, he speaks the truth. I'm with him on a lot of things. I did want to, my whole plan tonight was to call in and say, Lincoln Riley, more like nice stinking Triley. But unfortunately, we turned the ball over and we didn't capitalize on opportunities. I think Ryan mentioned, the fumble. It did. It was a pop-up in center field to Julio, my man. It was right there. It was a can of corn, as we say in the biz. And he just didn't come down with it. It was just really difficult to stomach that one. Obviously, the turnovers are going to kill you. Four picks is not going to get it done. I love Chance as much as the next guy. And, I've been a champion of Chance this whole 2.5 years since Jebby got his hamstring torn in half by we won't go there, but, call it what you want. Anyways, it was just frustrating. And then another one that was underrated is, it was a tough play, but Jaden Grant makes this routinely. I thought that was going to be a pick for sure from Caleb Williams, and that guy is just slippery. He kept getting out of everything sent his way.
He's Oladapo, seeing him
of course, to clean that up.
There tonight?
That was beautiful. I was not there. I was watching from the old telly. Yeah, I could not make it to the game.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
I
would have loved to have been.
Seeing Caleb Williams in person, like passing wise, again, I was really shocked how inaccurate it was. But like all the rushing accolades, seeing him just evade tacklers in person, I mean, I was amazed, and he lived up to all the hype.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating to get 99% of the way there and have him slip away last second. I mean, his escapability was probably the only plus in his game tonight. I do come back to, and a lot of people won't talk about this, but that, and I know you couldn't see it from your vantage point as well, but that fumble down on their end, it popped like 6 feet into the air, and that was going to be, regardless of where it was recovered, you got to think, okay, well, that's a 14-3 ball game right there, and I don't think USC gets it done at that point. So very frustrating. Obviously, really encouraged by the defense. I mean, nobody saw that coming. I mean, what was the over under, like 70-something?
70 or 71, depending on where you got it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I mean, that part for sure. I mean, you can take that away, and it is encouraging. And, it's not something to hang your head over. As my old coach Todd McDevitt used to say, you just got to flush it sometimes, flush it onto the next play. But I do think it is still disappointing because you really did outplay USC. I think you're every bit, in that class with them, the way you played. You had the right game plan. I think you definitely, in many ways, outcoached them. Lincoln Riley gets a lot of the credit, but I think you were right there as far as your game plan. And to not come through and to be, on the losing end by 3 points when you turned the ball over four times and had two turnovers, close, a lot of missed sacks. It's a tough one to swallow, but you gotta rebound. You gotta keep pressing on. But it's definitely one that's gonna sit with you for a while. But you don't have much time because we got the Utes.
Yeah.
Next week at 11.
Yeah, and maybe the worst thing, Andy, about this loss is you might not ever get a chance again to avenge it.
It's very true, and like you said in the open, obviously, USC's going to duck them. They're not going to come back here. Why would they? They've got nothing to gain. And as Mike and John pointed out on the show this week, it's crazy the disparity. I mean, they practically somehow they've been in the conference for 100 years. But have only played in Corvallis like what, 20 times? So that's really that befuddles me, TJ.
Yeah, it is befuddling. But is there one thing we know about college football? There's nothing really uniform across the board.
That's right. And they'll enjoy it. USC is going to enjoy tonight. They're going to move on. They'll probably move up in the rankings. But flight on. That's what it's going to be for them. Flight on. Have fun playing at Rutgers. Enjoy the trips, out east. I hope you really have a great time there playing Rutgers and Maryland, and your closest game, road game, being Nebraska. What an awesome conference to be in. And, you know, finishing, you know, fourth perpetually in the Big Ten is just going to really boost them.
I just can't wait to watch them play in the snow. That's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they didn't like to go into Pullman and Corvallis. Have freaking fun in Lincoln. And yeah. I mean, geez,
most of the players on their roster have never seen snow before because they're mostly Southern California kids.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be rough for them. But, you know, we gave it the old college try to say we were in it the whole way.
Been there,
done that. Controlled the game. But, you know, it's unfortunate it didn't go their way. But I do think there's some things to build upon. And, you know, overall, I don't think this has any bearing on how the season goes. You'd like to have that one. But I think most people chalk that up as a loss. Going into the season. And so, yeah, when you watch the game and sit down and give up 17 points, you're like, okay, we obviously win that game. But that's the way it rolled tonight. And, you know, we'll live to see another day, TJ.
Yep, absolutely, Andy. Anything else?
No, I think that's about it. I just want to clear the air and make sure everybody knows that our friend Herman Edwards was not fired in the end zone. He was just told in the end zone that he was going to be fired the next day.
Yes. Apparently, Andy, they had that meeting in the end zone after every game, but I think only after losing to a MAC school for the first time a Pac-12 school has ever done that was the made it more meaningful.
Yeah, right. Yes, we do that every game. Wink, wink. You know, I totally get you there, TJ. But thanks for all you do. You crushed the post game, Collins, as usual. And I'm just lucky we have someone like Jim Wilson, who is that encouraging school counselor to talk you off the ledge. So thanks, TJ. Thanks to the whole crew, and have a great night.
Yep. Thank you, Andy. Always good talking to Andy here on the Beaver Post Game Collins Show, brought to you by Sherwin Williams. We have Paul on the line as well, but we will take a break first. We got some commercials to get to our fine sponsors here at 1240 KEJO. We'll walk us through a break. Of course, if you want to get in on the action like Andy just did, the number to call, 541-497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Hey, it's not too late. I mean, we've been on the air later than this, so I think you have plenty of time to call in here on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show. We'll take a break and come back. We got texts and calls to get to on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show here on 1240 Joe Radio.
You can depend on Middleton Heating for all your heating, cooling, venting, and sheet metal needs. Have you cleaned your dryer vents this year? If not, call Middleton. Their trained technicians will inspect and clean your dryer venting system with the Rotobrush vent cleaning machine. Plus, they can make any needed repairs for optimum efficiency. Clean dryer vents prevent fires, increase drying efficiency, prevent mold, and increase the life of your dryer. Give Middleton a call to schedule today, online at middletonheating.net.
Fall. Hunting, camping, tailgating? A new truck from Power Pre-Owned in Salem would be perfect. Stop by today and see their great selection. Trucks, utility vehicles, four-door sedans, two-door sedans, convertibles. Whatever you're looking for, in whatever price range, you'll find it at Power Pre-Owned, with new inventory arriving daily. You can view them all online and even get pre-approved with their easy online application at powerapproved.com. And if you want, they'll even bring the vehicle to you. It's easy. At Power Pre-Owned, corner of Hawthorne and D in Salem. At Power Pre-Owned, you have the power.
The outside to the left, and Johnson, touchdown, Beavers!
It takes a team effort to score a touchdown. The same is true if you need some advice with personal or business tax planning, monthly business bookkeeping, or just need some help with strategy. With over 45 years in business, the coaching staff at Tax and Wealth Management in Corvallis can help. See David Mendenhall, Bill Heck, or Robert Berry. They have the experience you need to execute the game plan and score a touchdown every time. Visit taxandwealthmanagement.com and get into the game.
Touchdown, Beavers!
PacWest Wealth Partners, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial, is looking for advisors with an ownership mentality. If you are growth-minded, successful, client-centric, and goal-oriented, send a confidential email at pacwestwealthpartners.com or call Keith at 530-945-9641. That's PacWestWealthPartners.com or call Keith at 530-945-9641. PacWest Wealth Partners, with offices in Albany, Bend, Salem, and Corvallis.
Back here in studio on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show. Happy to have you all with us on a late Saturday night in the Willamette Valley. TJ Mathewson with you in studio. Dale Hummel helping out on the phone lines. Plenty of action going on. Already got two callers through. Thanks to, I believe, Ryan and Andy. The first two callers. Yep. And then plenty of texts to get to as well. Let's get to a couple of those texts before we get Paul. I appreciate you, Paul, for holding. But we got some texts to get to as well that have come in since the game ended. Again, I left with about, I think, as Jordan Addison scored that touchdown, minute 13 left. I'm like, okay, I can't get stuck here. I can't get stuck in traffic. I got to be on the air an hour after. Sometimes when you're in the media, you got to make an executive decision. And that's what I decided to do, and Chance Nolan ends up throwing an interception to end the game. Where was I going? Well, welcome to the Sherwin-Williams Beaver post-game call-in show here on 1240 Joe Radio. Appreciate you all tuning in. Whether you want to contribute on the Downward Dog phone line, University Honda text line, the number is the same, 541-497-5356. 541 number text in. Chance Nolan single-handedly lost us this game. The starting job should be up for grabs next week. First part of that sentence, sure. Yes, I'll say Chance Nolan's interceptions directly led to 10 USC points in the difference in this game. Correct. The starting job should be up for grabs next week. No, I don't think so. There's still quite a difference between Chance Nolan and Tristan Jebbia and Ben Gulbranson from what I have seen. But I don't think this is a performance that warrants a benching. I don't think so. USC has a very opportunistic defense, and they were quite opportunistic tonight. Dave and Sandy texts in, even if we could not have played a not-so-perfect game, there would have been a W in the record books. Ridiculous. Even if we could have played a not-so-perfect game, there would have been a win in the record books. Dave, I'm going to ask you to clarify this text message as I'm trying to read through it. Even if the Beavers played a perfect game, there would have... Even if we could, okay. Well, I'm working through it, Dave. It has been a long day for me, as it is every Saturday, but I appreciate the text. Regardless of how the Beavers played and how Chance Nolan's interceptions ended up, the Beavers had a chance to go win the game. They had a chance to close it out on defense. They did not do either. And sometimes that's how the, I don't have my, what is it? No, it's not a pun. I'm a mess. My mind's all over the place. Mark in Wyoming texts in. Let's see what we got here. And I thought our D wouldn't be up to beating USC's O. Turns out we lost the game because our O wasn't up to pulling it out. Dang, that was close. Go Beavs. Now let's beat Utah. Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Again, if you told me the total of this game would have been 31 points, I would have laughed. Said, okay, which team scored that? No, both of them combined. Yeah, that's how it is. All right, we can go back to the Downward Dog phone line. We'll get to those texts. I see some more coming in. We'll get to those texts as we go along. Appreciate you all contributing on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line here on the Sherwin-Williams Beaver postgame call-in show. Let's go to Paul on the Downward Dog phone line. Paul, good evening.
Hey, TJ. Well, I don't remember the first interception, but I can definitely tell you the second one and the fourth one were overthrows. I mean, bad. I mean, I don't know where Chance Nolan's head was. Why was he always thrown into double and triple coverage? So always thrown to the shortest receiver on the field. I mean, it was like, you know, where was Trajan Harrison? I mean, come on. I mean, it was like maybe Trajan wasn't getting open, but still, you don't throw a pass, you know, where there's four guys surrounding your receiver. That was the last one. So you know, I mean, throw the doggone ball away so you got another play. I just think that...
Sorry, Paul.
I know you didn't see that one, TJ, but it was really bad. It was overthrown by 10 yards. The guy that intercepted went down to his knees 10 yards past the intended receiver and caught the ball.
I distinctly remember the second interception, Paul, because Chance was about to get hit. I mean, he had a guy right in his face as he let that ball go. So I would say it makes, nonetheless, not an excuse for overthrowing the ball, but that is what caused the overthrow there, Paul. By the way, Paul, I did see you at the game. You were all the way around in the south end zone.
I,
right up against the media barrier. I was under that tent. I saw you standing there.
Well, yeah, I was sitting right next to you, man.
Yeah. I saw you that one time. I turned around. You weren't there again, so.
Well, I sat there the whole game, right? I was the first one on the other side of the railing.
I must have missed the rest of it then.
But anyway, the first overthrow with Idiot, he might have been pressured, but he still, it was just a flat overthrow, and I don't think the pressure had anything to do with it. I think like Jim Wilson said, his feet weren't planted right.
Yeah.
His mechanic was off on that one, and it was overthrown. It was 5 yards over the guy's head. I mean, it wasn't even close. And it, just being pressured, that shouldn't cause that. But I just think that his decision-making was terrible tonight. And I agree with your texter, but I think that it should be up for... I think Bill Branson should go in the starting thing, because when I watched the spring game and the scrimmages and stuff, the Branson looked better than both Jebbia and Chance Nola.
So, Paul, you would be okay with putting a redshirt freshman who's never started a collegiate game against a crowd of 70,000 and the conference favorite next week on the road?
I think I would. And then if things go bad, you bring Chance Nola in. But I think you give the kid a chance. Or you do it the other way around. You put Chance Nola in there. And if he looks as bad as he did tonight, then you bring Gobranson in, one or the other. I don't care which way you do it. But I just think that this was a very winnable game, and I think our defense played really good. I mean, not great, but really good, and we just couldn't get our arms around that doggone quarterback.
Yeah, he's slippery.
I mean, the guy looked like he was dancing sometimes, like he was afraid to get hit.
And it was effective.
I wish that we could have knocked that doggone mouthpiece out of his mouth that he kept on chewing on.
Yeah.
He never put his mouthpiece in his mouth. He had half of it hanging out, and he just had his teeth clamped on the other end.
I forget which Seahawk does that a lot. I think it's Tyler Lockett. I can't remember. There's a Seahawk who does that a lot.
Did you see that?
I could not see his mouthpiece from where I was standing. My eyesight's not that
good. If you looked up at the big scoreboard, they had the camera on him, and he kept on having that mouthpiece like that.
So where I was standing, I could not see the big scoreboard. It was blocked by the tent.
Oh yeah, you poor guy.
Yeah, I know. Poor media guy.
I think it was a very winnable game, and. Just because USC is USC, they're not going to drop anywhere. And I agree. Now, I don't think we should be ranked this week, but I think if we go to Utah and beat Utah, then we should be ranked.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to push back a little bit on the Chance Nolan discourse. I think Chance is still your starter. I think clearly, even with the mistakes tonight, because as a quarterback, mistakes do happen. And again, there were still other opportunities for the Beavers to go win the game, and they were unable to do so. And USC, again, has been adept at turning the ball over. Some defenses just have a knack for it. Again, I say it's random sometimes, but when you force a guy into a bad throw and you intercept the pass, you don't drop it, you don't let it hit the ground. I mean, Jaden Grant dropped an interception for the Beavs today, and USC did not drop any of the opportunities they had. So sometimes you just got to chalk it up to they made the plays and we didn't.
Well, okay. You say so, TJ.
Anything else, Paul?
Thanks, man.
Yep, of course. Always happy to hear from you, Paul, on the Downward Dog phone line. Both lines open if you want to contribute. Not too late in the evening. Just 11:16 here in the Willamette Valley. TJ Mathewson with you on the Sherwin-Williams Beaver postgame call-in show. Contribute on the Downward Dog phone line. The University Honda text line at 541-497-5356. Again, both phone lines open. If you want to call in and contribute, the number 497-5356. Garrett texting in. Nice to see you, Garrett. Didn't see you at the game today, though, but good to have the contributions. Tough loss, but heck of a game to watch, and they showed they do belong. Go Beavs. Have a great show. Thank you, Garrett. Always appreciate it. Again, nothing out there on the field today really showed like there's this immense talent difference between the two teams. That was not there. The two teams looked pretty even when they were playing. And one team, again, just made more plays than the other. And that's in the that's how the game, that's how the cookie crumbled. That's what I was looking for. There we go. Let's see. What texture? Oh, it looks like we have Mark here. Four interceptions. Talk about choking under pressure. Also, wrap up and take down. Let's see if the defense can learn that before we grant Bray sainthood. You know, Mark, I'll agree to an extent. I think most of that was A, Caleb Williams just being elusive because he is just flat out elusive. And B, Travis Dye had an unreal night. Just unreal. 19 attempts, 133 yards, and a touchdown. He was really hard to bring down all game. And once again, our defense can't handle a mobile quarterback. He danced out of so many near tackles. Losing this game practically guarantees a loss at Utah next week. Not necessarily. Beavs did beat Utah last year, and I think Utah last year was a bit better than they are this year. It, again, was at home, not on the road. I wouldn't throw out any guarantees. Watching the Mariners down the stretch have really sort of humbled me to not guarantee everything, and I'll use that analogy here as well with the Beavs. And you can't really guarantee anything. Were you going to guarantee the Beavs were going to be 3-0 after that non-conference schedule? Probably not. I didn't think they would be, and yet they were. And they were, you know, 4.5 minutes away from beating USC, one defensive stop. I think they had at least one fourth down on that drive USC needed to convert, and they did because of Caleb Williams' legs. But that's what makes a dual threat quarterback like him so valuable, is that you can wrap him up, you can't tackle him. And that's exactly what they did. We'll get to a text from Merrill, and then I think we'll take a break unless someone else calls in. Again, the Downward Dog phone line, University Honda text line, wide open. Would be happy to take your calls, 541-497-5356. The Beavers lose here tonight to the USC Trojans, 17-14. All right, Merrill, we'll get to your text. We have quite a bit to get to here. Andy, are there TVs in Mitchell, Oregon? Shocked Pac-12 Network is offered there. I would agree. Yeah, it is. Yes. Not a heartbreaker loss. Four interceptions explains the game. TJ very worried about the Beavers kicking game with Hayes. I forgot about that missed field goal. Thank you, Merrill. That was an opportunity to tie the game where USC, instead of going down for the win, could have been going down for the tie. And then we could be having a different discussion because the Beavs could have won in overtime or lost in overtime. But regardless, I believe Everett is hurt. And he's kicking through an injury. I was actually a little surprised he came out for that field goal because I remember Jonathan mentioning in his Monday presser, Sappington. I can't remember his first name. Atticus Sappington. Correct me on the text line if I'm wrong, 541-497-5356, that he might kick some longer field. He would do kickoffs and I think attempt longer field goals, I think. I wasn't sure that Hayes was going to kick from 46, but he did. So I don't know if he would chalk that up to an injury because he missed that kick, but I don't know. Really tough to stomach offensively. One real touchdown drive powered by Kalito catch, fourth down conversion and lead blocking. Had so much love for Chance, but Smith will have a short lease for Utah. 8 turnovers in 2 games, Boise State and USC. And you're leaving out the other 2 games didn't turn the ball over. 6 interceptions, 2 fumbles. Again, sometimes guys just turn the ball over. If he comes out and has 4 interceptions at Utah, hey, maybe we can have that discussion. I think a one-off at home against a top 10 team is not a call for a benching, I don't think. Smith has shown he's not afraid to pull a guy at QB, especially with turnovers. That's correct. We saw that game 1 last year with Sam Neuer. Yikes, ASU TJ, praying for your sanity. Yeah. What was the final score down there in Tempe tonight against the Utah Utes, who the Beavs will see next week? 11 a.m. We will have a 7 a.m. tailgate show for, I see we have Tyler on the line. We'll get to Tyler after another commercial break. But a 7 a.m. tailgate show next week for me, a real noted morning person. Very much looking forward to it. You could probably hear the sarcasm in my voice there. 34-13 Utah over ASU. Merrill, it's about the just got to pick out the next head coach. That's all. Sean Iguana, though, I've enjoyed seeing his quotes. Former Chandler High head coach, one of the best public schools for football in the whole country, turned that program around. I don't know how real of an opportunity he'll get to maybe to interview for the head coaching role, but hey, I don't know. Who knows? You know, no one saw Herm Edwards getting hired either, so that'll be something to look at. And again, it'll be the Beavs and the Utes next week, 11 a.m. kickoff, 7 a.m. tailgate show here on Joe Radio. We'll take a break, come back. We got more calls and texts to get to. Sherwin Williams, Beaver Postgame Call-In Show, 1240 Joe Radio.
I'm Bob Bending, and I know you don't have to drive any further than Wilson Motors in Corvallis to save money on your next vehicle. Here are my rules when selling a new car or truck. 1. The customer is always right. 2. Wear black and orange 12 months a year, not just on Halloween. 3. Shop local to support your friends, family, and community. And 4. You don't have to drive to the big city to save money on a new Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram purchase.
Make your best deal today at Wilson Motors Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, 5th and Buchanan in Corvallis, or online at saveitwilson.com.
Now's the time to get a great deal on selected Kubota compact tractors. Kubota compact tractors are easy to operate and are rated number one in durability and owner experience. Save up to $1,100, plus pay nothing down and 0% APR for up to 48 months. Now through September 30th, see Lynn Benton Tractor in Tangent or go to KubotaUSA.com.
Lynn Benton Tractor, we're still doing business the American way.
The outside to the left, and Johnson, touchdown Beavers!
It takes a team effort to score a touchdown. The same is true if you need some advice with personal or business tax planning, monthly business bookkeeping, or just need some help with strategy. With over 45 years in business, the coaching staff at Tax and Wealth Management in Corvallis can help. See David Mendenhall, Bill Heck, or Robert Berry. They have the experience you need to execute the game plan and score a touchdown every time. Visit taxandwealthmanagement.com and get into the game.
Touchdown!
If you are a veteran and live in Linn County, there are benefits and services available to you at Linn County Veterans Services. You've earned them. Use them. Call 541-926-3882 and take advantage of what you've earned. Home loans, disability compensation, health care, transportation, and more. Linn County Veterans Services is here to help you. If you are a veteran and live in Linn County, call 541-926-3882 and thank you for serving your country. Linn County Veterans Services, serving our local veterans.
How about some EDM here on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show, 1240 Joe Radio. I can see Dale Hummel shaking his head on the other side of the glass. But hey, we can jam out a little bit. I know the Beavs lost tonight. 17-14, the Trojans in their final trip to Corvallis come up to the Willamette Valley and defeat the Beavs 17-14. A really phenomenal game, start to finish. Was able to go to the game for the first time since I've been here. Just a little over a year now. Crazy how a year flies by. It really is. But finally able to get to a game, and man, it was awesome. The environment was great. The students showed out. The student section was full 45 minutes to an hour before kickoff, which, as a former student of a Power 5 university, you know, it sometimes happens for big games. You'll get out there and wait. I mean, I'd say it's a little bit more favorable for the Beaver students to go out there and wait. Temperature was beautiful. It was like 80 degrees. The sun wasn't too harsh. There wasn't that much wind. It was nice. Meanwhile, when I did that a couple times, you go out there, get your at ASU and go get your spot in the student section. Especially for those September games, it's about 110 to 105 degrees. While you're standing there for an hour waiting, and sometimes you've had a beverage or two, or I don't know, count. Maybe sometimes you lose count of how many you've had. And that can make for a less comfortable waiting experience. Nonetheless, I think everyone who got there early was very pleased. I was in an amazing game to watch on the field. It was great seeing all the talent on the field, you know, seeing the Oregon State defense ball out. I wanted to go see Caleb Williams. His rushing ability really lived up to the hype, and his legs a big reason why USC was able to go move the ball in that final drive and go march down and throw a go-ahead touchdown to Jordan Addison. All right, let's get to a couple of text messages. We also got a couple of calls lined up. Tyler and Dave from Tumwater on the line. Some texts coming in. Ryan and Redmond. TJ, can you believe the Beavers defense showed up? I don't know if Ryan sent this text before or after he called in, but appreciate the text, Ryan. Can you believe the Beavers defense showed up? I'll take that as win, Ryan and Redmond. Yes, best defensive effort of the season. I mean, it was a loss, but I think it was better than the Boise State effort because just look who you're looking across at. I mean, Lincoln Riley has made three college football playoff appearances, three of them, which is more than the Pac-12 has as an entire conference since the inception of the four-team format in 2014. And all that offensive talent as well. I mean, just the opponent alone, I think, makes it the best defensive appearance of the season. Again, and also don't think the Beavers got called for a penalty on defense. I don't think they got called for a single one, which is really hard to do nowadays because all the rules are for the offense. And the Beavers managed to get it without a penalty. Let's see. Wayne from Albany texts in. Great defensive effort. OSU 3-1. They're not a top 25 team yet. USC not a top 15 team yet. I'll agree. I think everything's subjective nowadays. It probably depends on what you value. Washington, Utah look like they could be the best so far. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm not a poll voter. I haven't done enough research to look at that. Man, the texts are flowing in. Appreciate all the love on the University Honda text line. You want to jump in on the fun? 541-497-5356. That's the number to call and text. Downward Dog phone line, University Honda text line on the Beaver Post Game call-in show, sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. Andy texts back in, TJ, only guarantee in life is that Colorado will go 0-12. After seeing today, I can agree. Let's see. Oh, Andy had a couple of other texts come in here. I think tonight would have gone better if Noah Eagle and Jack Collinsworth had been calling the game. I appreciate that humor, Andy. Agree with Ryan that Jameis earned the more carries and be looked at most complete back tonight. Thank you, Andy. Quite the diverse selection of texts there. We go from guarantees in life, Colorado being bad. I think Carl Durrell's going to get fired. It's really bad when your AD has to come out with a statement saying, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. While they're about to go 0-12. And I do appreciate the nepotism jokes tonight. That's funny. All right, we can go back to the phone lines. Tyler was first. Got to talk to Tyler on the tailgate show today. And now we can check in with Tyler here on the Sherwin-Williams Beaver Post Game call-in show. Tyler, how are you?
I've been a little better. I'm a little disappointed in the result, of course. My thoughts on the game, well, people have pretty much gotten through most of them, so I'll just hit the bullet points. First off, the defense did more than enough to win this game by themselves, so I don't really put this on them at all. Holding USC down to 17 points is quite a feat in itself. That being said, there are three things I saw that I felt contributed to the loss, and none of them were in USC. The most obvious and glaring one is the four turnovers. That's just something we can't have in no matter who you're playing. And that's been like bloodied to death already on this show. The other was I noticed like the offense seemed to be shooting itself in the foot with penalties at inopportune times. There were a lot of false starts, and there was that one drive down inside the red zone that where a holding penalty changed from, like, I think they were, like, inside the 10 and they ended up out in the 26. You know which drive I'm talking about, right?
Restart that sentence for me.
Yeah, so there was this one drive where they were heading, they had a decent amount of momentum and were heading down towards the end zone. I don't remember if it was the third or the fourth quarter. But let's see, they were needing the score. They got close to like inside the 10-yard line on a big run. But somebody, I don't remember the details on who it was, but somebody held on a run that was a first down and ended up pushing them back for a field goal attempt. And the third thing, which has already been mentioned, is our inability to like tackle Williams in space. There were several times where he was he broke a tackle or got outside containment and made a play with his legs. The most glaring one being, when he made that fourth down stop on the last drive. So the I don't feel USC beat us, which is the really irritating thing. I feel like, USC didn't win this game as much as Oregon State lost it.
Yeah, I'll agree. Yeah, especially, again, I think most of it comes down to the four turnovers. You get to say the little things and, you know, the execution on offense on that drive. I believe that drive, Tyler, was the one where they ended up missing the field goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I think Hayes is a good field goal kicker, but if he's hurt, you do need to start thinking about your options until he gets better, because you need to have a liability at that position.
And I agree. But maybe they think an injured Hayes is still a better kicker from 46 yards than the other options they have. I don't know. I've seen them kick in camp, but I've seen, you know, them kick maybe five times a piece. So I don't have a definitive answer for you. That's, you know, that's a Jonathan question. And I'm going to almost guarantee that question will be asked on Monday.
I don't think Chance should be benched. I still think he gives us the best chance to win, but he seems to have a mental block in certain situations where it seems like he kind of feels like he has to do everything at once. And a lot of those interceptions, he was like going for the home run ball when I think it would have been just as easy to like take what the defense was giving him, like the short 10-yard out or whatever. But it seemed like he wanted to get everything back on one play, and that's when he gets into trouble.
That's fair. I mean, I would say that aggressiveness from Chance almost directly won them that Fresno State game at the end. So I don't think it's, you know, all negative. I just think it was, you know, a poor execution and, you know, better play by the USC defense on the other side.
Yeah, I can already see what the headlines are going to be like tomorrow when you wake up. It's going to be like USC stages miracle comeback. They won't talk about how Oregon State pushed them at all. And we're not going to get considered for the top 25 because we lost. And, well, we're not a brand name, so we're not going to hear too much about that. You have to win in order to get recognition. And even then, when you're a school like Oregon State or Washington State, it takes a lot more work to get noticed, especially since most of the AP poll voters are already asleep.
Yes, they are. I would guarantee maybe 20% of them stayed up to watch this game. A true Pac-12 after dark, but I think it was well worth it for those who did stay up. And hey, Tyler, that's why we exist here at 1240 Joe Radio, to shine light on the Beavs. Anything else?
Yeah, well, let's see. I guess, well, obviously, you hope to see all that stuff cleaned up before next week, because as I always felt that the USC game was winnable, especially being in Corvallis. I've been maintaining since the schedule came out that this next game against Utah is the hardest one on the schedule in terms of where it's at and who we're playing. I think Utah looks like the best team in the Pac-12. USC looks like it's got a few flaws. Utah scares me a lot more.
Yeah, and Utah, we're talking about just complete. I mean, quarterback and then line play, which is the biggest thing, and I really... You know, if you have USC go up and play some of the better teams along the lines in the country, I mean, I think they would get obliterated. So that is what takes rebuilds longer than, you know, longer than you know, just trying to win, right? It takes a while to build that sort of equity up, and that's what I think Kyle Whittingham, the advantage the Utes have over USC right now.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out. They have to go to Salt Lake City in a couple of weeks, but right now we have to deal with them ourselves. So let's see.
Yep.
Hopefully they can clean things up, because the last thing you want to do is like be your own worst enemy, like we were tonight.
Yeah, four turnovers won't cut it out there on the road against the Utes. Appreciate the call, Tyler. We'll check in with you next week.
Yep, see ya.
All right, thanks, Tyler. We can go to Dave from Tumwater now on the Downward Dog phone line. Dave, how are you?
Oh, Good, TJ. First, on the proof of concept for the post-game call-in show, just to get that technical item out of the way, I'm at Delta Park, so I'll be over the bridge into the state of Washington on the way to Tumwater well before this post-game call-in show is over, so the concept is working. We're well into the evening, still digesting the game. So I want to divide my comments, TJ, into kind of two sections.
Sure, go ahead.
One would be kind of the game itself, strategically, tactically, the way it played out, and then kind of some intangibles. So a tremendous effort by the Oregon State team today. They exceeded my expectations with the caliber of play. I thought the coaching, the general scheme was outstanding. It's obvious that Coach Bray had them ready to play. That was well schemed on defense. I don't think Coach Smith and the offensive coordinator have gotten enough kudos tonight, because it's clear early in the game the strategy was to minimize the number of possessions SC was going to get. Oregon State didn't want to get into a track meet with SC with that offense of theirs. The strategy was to take the air out of the ball. Relative conservative play calling, minimized possessions, and it worked. The strategy almost worked to perfection. You'll recall that, and this is my son's great observation, it was only that the last half of the fourth quarter, Brian Lindgren and Coach Smith opened up the playbook a little more razzle-dazzle. Of course, one of those plays ended up with an interception. But I thought at that point in the game, that was a risk well worth taking, because, as you will also recall from the game, that ended up pinning SC deep in their territory. And then when they ended up punting, Oregon State got the ball on, the 25 and 26-yard line.
Yeah, and I think that netted negative yardage anyways.
Yeah, a lot's been made of the interceptions tonight. I can hold my own criticizing Oregon State play. I don't think I need to furnish my credentials. I can do that with the best of them. But I think there's been a little bit too much focus on Chance Nolan's two throws, bad decisions. Yet they shouldn't have made them. And the truth of the matter is, the differences in the game were the athleticism of the SC quarterback vis-a-vis Oregon State.
Yep.
That's not a knock at Chance, but that the elusiveness in particular, the other big play, the big play of the game, was the push on that fourth down. I don't know whether that was a running play. I don't know. It was kind of hectic. But if Oregon State holds there, they probably win the game. And even with four interceptions, if you allow the two of them, maybe were far worse than the other. If the defense holds, Oregon State still wins in spite of four interceptions. So, in the interest of kind of equalizing attention, the player, I think, who had the most two damaging plays of the entire game for Oregon State, neither one of them was Chance Nolan. It was Harrison, who dropped that pass on the second possession of the third quarter. The Beavers had gotten the ball. They had the punt. SC got the ball back. You're thinking, okay, here's where SC is going to prove themselves out. They're going to begin to dominate. Oregon State holds again. Beavers start moving down the field, and Harrison drops that pass heading over towards the SC sideline. He was wide open.
Yep.
He started to run before he had the ball, but lost all. Oregon State lost 15 minutes of game clock time momentum because of that drop pass, which they don't regain until late in the fourth quarter. And then who has the holding penalty that calls back the near touchdown?
Yep.
Same guy. So I'm not trying to pick on him, but I'm just saying that people are piling on Chance Nolan. The point is, TJ, there's plenty of blame to go around. Yeah. Nolan was outplayed at quarterback. Harrison didn't have any number of times he's kind of let us down with a especially poor time drop. He had the hold on that near touchdown play, and the defense failed to hold on that last possession there in the go-ahead possession in the fourth quarter. So I'm just trying to bring a little balance to that. Moving, if I might, TJ, to the intangibles. Now, you said you were down on the field. I presume you were on what will be the new side, the press side of the stadium. Is that correct?
I was in the southwest corner of the stadium.
I'm just kind of curious. Several of us were talking. That place was crazy loud tonight. And that's with half a stadium, TJ.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that's going to be like in a big game atmosphere when you have fans playing off each other on opposite sides of the field? So
it's
going to
be awesome.
One.
Yeah, I was asking John. I was asking some other media members. Of course, again, my first time there seeing a game, and I'm like, well, I probably couldn't have picked a better one to go to for a first time. And I'm like, wow, this is really good. And there's only 20-something thousand people here in half a stadium. But just imagine, do you think they could have filled up the whole thing with the old, 45,000 capacity?
I don't know. There's some of these conversation points I will engage in. Others, I think, are kind of, I'm not going to engage in chances against USA, top 25. That's all. There's plenty of time to consider that. I'm still digesting the game. So I want to end in what I would consider, if I'm flattering myself, my own kind of parting shot. So I have rarely seen a team, referring to SC, and I'm curious whether Mike or Jim mentioned it in the podcast. You had left, so you wouldn't have seen it. In fact, I have never seen a team display such classless behavior as the Southern Cal. I'm going to call them Southern Cal, whether they like it or not. They prefer SC or USC. I have never seen a bunch of classless players exceed the classlessness with which they left the field tonight. And quite honestly, TJ, good riddance to those people, those players, and their fans. I don't want to be in a conference with people like that, quite honestly. I don't know whether Mike talked about it or anyone who wasn't there. The media probably didn't cover it, but half a dozen of the SC players went out and engaged in some shenanigans on the Beaver logo. They were blowing kisses, waving bye-bye. This is a team that was lucky to get out of that game with a victory, which if you saw Lincoln Riley's body language when he came over the field, across the field, to meet Jonathan Smith at midfield, you could see, I could almost read Lincoln Riley since I could certainly read his body language. He was thankful to get out of that stadium alive the last time he's likely to coach there. But his players, they can go to hell. And a lot of their fans as well. They're talking about, you guys will have fun in the Pac-2. We're moving to the big. Have fun playing in Piscataway and College Park, getting beat down by Ohio State and Wisconsin and Michigan. I mean, USC is not going to do well in that conference. UCLA is going to be down in the Rutgers category. So, I will ask the question. I'll just close out. I don't know whether Mike or Jim talked about it, but I'll just repeat it for emphasis. I have never, ever seen such classless behavior by college athletes as that SC squad leaving the stadium tonight. That's all I got, TJ. I hope it was enough.
That's why we have this show, Dave. I appreciate the call. Get home safe.
Thank you.
All right. Dave, if you're still listening, I don't think they mentioned it on the part of the post game. Sure, I'd heard they did. Oh, okay. Well, I think that would be a topic for Monday's show, from the Jack and Jenny Wilborn media room at Valley Football Center, for Monday. That'll be a good topic to engage with. I did not hear that, but Dale did say that is what they were talking about. That must have been on my walk back to the northern part of campus to my car, where I was able to find parking. Interesting. I love that from Dave. That is why we have this show. I love those reactions. That's what we got to get. I did not see the reactions from USC, but I'm not that surprised, to be honest. We got a couple texts to get to. I see Merrill's on the line. We still have one last break to take. I'm going to take it before we hit midnight, just to get it out of the way. Of course, we appreciate all of our sponsors, but we do have one last break to take, and I think it'll be a good time to take it. Let's get through a couple of these text messages first. One last segment after the break. If you want to contribute here on the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show, the number to call, 541-497-5356. Whether you want to text on the text line or call on the Downward Dog phone line, the University of Honda text line, of course, is the text line. Appreciate all of our sponsors, again, here on the Sherwin-Williams Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. And again, I really do appreciate that analysis from Dave, and not even about USC, about, you know, Chance Nolan didn't play great, but there's multiple other, you know, things you can look at, just little things that, you know, the team will pick up on it. Treshawn Harrison didn't even cross my mind. It didn't. But yeah, he had a big drop. And then that holding penalty, which would have, the Beavers would have scored a touchdown on that drive if he did not have a holding penalty in that fourth quarter. They would have scored. But instead, they did not, and they backed up. And Tyler brought it up, too. But Dave specifically mentions Treshawn Harrison. I'm like, yep, that's a big one. Let's see. Buck in Albany. I think people are coming down so hard on Chance Nolan or looking at this way too simplistically. It is a team sport. Oh, there we go. Look at that. Good timing on this text message. We had numerous opportunities to put this thing away and didn't do it. They were not all on Chance. Remember, folks, we're playing the number 7 team in the nation. Lost by 3 points, need to get our heads back on as fans. Move on to the next week, just like the players do, swapping out our veteran quarterback for a redshirt freshman on the road in the most hostile environment in the conference with 70,000 people by dropping a game 3 points to a top 10 team. Not the best option. Thank you, Buck, for that text message. Buck in Albany with the contribution there. 503 number without a name, nameless 503. Our defense played lights out. Chance Nolan acted like it was a high school game. Interesting analysis. Those both work. Also think the kick, I think I could kick better than Everett Hayes. Again, I think Everett is hurting. I do wonder this 503 number, if you want to follow up. So Everett, what did he kick, a 62, 63 yarder last year? I'm wondering if you could make it that. Just curious. I don't think I could. I used to kick for fun, actually, back home. There, across the street from my house back in Seattle, there's a middle school, elementary school. And this nice big field, it's all renovated now. They tore it all up, so it's a real shame. But the way it used to be, they had this really high fence, really high, with, and there were poles on the chain link, so you could, you know, kick it between. It was a little skinnier than it was a typical field goal post, but you could sell it, and I would do that for fun. And I eventually hurt myself kicking. And like we mentioned, I think Everett is hurt. That was a fun time, but now less about me. Now, Paul in Albany, great effort all around tonight, especially the defense. Great energy in the stadium for only half a stadium available. Like to call in, but I have no voice left. Thanks for the honesty, Paul. Appreciate that. Yes, people were pretty loud. They were very loud. I wasn't blaming you for shouting out your voice, especially for that game, as good as it was. Let's take that final break. We'll get to Merrill on the phone line. If you want to call in, now's a good time. 541-497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Back after this on 1240 Joe Radio.
The outside to the left, and jogs in. Touchdown, Beavers!
It takes a team effort to score a touchdown. The same is true if you need some advice with personal or business tax planning, monthly business bookkeeping, or just need some help with strategy. With over 45 years in business, the coaching staff at Tax and Wealth Management in Corvallis can help. See David Mendenhall, Bill Heck, or Robert Berry. They have the experience you need to execute the game plan and score a touchdown every time. Visit taxandwealthmanagement.com and get into the game.
Touchdown, Beavers!
At Lassen Toyota, we believe in going the extra mile by providing those little extras that make your life easier, like online scheduling so you can pick the day and time that's most convenient for you, and courtesy rides to and from your home or workplace. We even honor our competitors' coupons whenever possible. Lassen Toyota services vehicles, but serves people. Schedule your service appointment today at LassenToyota.com, just east of I-5 on Highway 20 in Albany.
If you are a veteran and live in Linn County, there are benefits and services available to you at Linn County Veterans Services. You've earned them. Use them. Call 541-926-3882 and take advantage of what you've earned. Home loans, disability compensation, health care, transportation, and more. Linn County Veterans Services is here to help you. If you are a veteran and live in Linn County, call 541-926-3882 and thank you for serving your country. Linn County Veterans Services, serving our local veterans.
The fall means it's time for Oregon State football, a new season and hopefully a bowl game at the end of the year. It's also a good time to look at that home remodeling project. If you need new carpet, countertops, luxury vinyl, or window coverings, see the staff at Corvallis Floor Covering. They've been coaching Beaver fans and helping you get it done for over 30 years. Stop by and see their showroom, full of all the popular brands that you know, love, and gotta have. They're on the corner of 2nd and Van Buren downtown, or log on to CorvallisFloorCovering.com. Shop local, shop Corvallis Floor Covering, and go Beavs!
Back here on the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. One final segment for you from our KEJO studios in Albany. TJ Mathewson with you on the program. Dale Hummel helping out on the phone lines. Beavs fall at home to the USC Trojans, 17-14. We can go back to the Downward Dog phone line now, the namesake of the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show, sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. Now let's go to Merrill. Always good hearing from Merrill. Merrill, how are you?
I'm good, TJ. I'm sensing so much anger. It seems like Dave's getting angrier every week. And, I mean, are you doing a wellness check on him or anything in Tumwater? Because I feel like that's worth it at this point. It's disturbing.
We can check with him on that on Monday. Maybe, you know, after the game, usually, you know, we have the stages of grief. I think anger is number one, right? So I think it usually will dial down as time goes.
Yeah, I mean, well, but he's angry about the mobile ticket thing. He can't figure that out. You know, he does. Maybe Tumwater's similar to Mitchell, where they don't have TVs and stuff, so he can't get the mobile tickets on his phone. You know, it's kind of back in the Stone Age like that. I just, so much anger, and you know, I wanna just clarify. You know, I love Chance, and he had some mistakes today. You know, but he also won us the Fresno State game. I think you said he almost. He pretty much did not. He totally did. I just think Smith, in Smith's offense, you can't turn it over, and he's kind of proven that. And I think my point is, don't be surprised if he struggles next week in the first half if they go to Golbranson, just because that's what he's done in the past. I mean, Smith has pulled guys multiple times. He even pulled Jack Coletto. If you probably didn't. I don't know if you were still in ASU grad school then, TJ, but Jack Coletto is 1-0 as the starting quarterback. He started at Colorado, Smith's first year in the program.
Yeah, I was still at ASU then,
played the first half,
I don't think I watched
that game. 3 points.
I don't think Colorado, and then, Oregon State in 2018 was appointment viewing for junior year,
yes,
TJ.
Totally. But he was a starter, and then Luton came in cold off the bench and I think scored 38 in the second half.
I do remember that game.
I'm just, yeah,
that was
so
the game
Jack
came
Coletto
back
was
and won.
The starter, so he's 1-0 as the starter. I just want to point that out.
Well,
However,
there isn't anything
again,
he can't do.
No, there isn't. So I'm not angry tonight at all. It just was, because when you know why you lost the game, it's less anger, and it's, you know, I was more angry last year at Colorado, not going for the two, you know, and trying to and going into overtime and all that kind of stuff. So I digress on that, but I do want to point out a few things. I think totally going under the radar is Jam Griffin did have a great game, and Ryan had pointed that out earlier in the show. And I think that running back room has just been waiting for a guy to kind of seize the opportunity in all three phases, because there's a few plays and even one of Chance's picks, the running back completely whiffed on the inside linebacker block. It was a similar play against Fresno. And since we have not had Trey Lowe playing, and so TJ, can you ask questions at media? I forget. During the week, do you ask questions?
For like Tuesday and Wednesday? Yes, I can.
For Jonathan's availability, for Smith's availability.
For Jonathan's, I'm sitting here in this chair, so I cannot.
Okay. Well, I really am curious what is really up with Trey Lowe, because I'm thinking it could be longer term than people think. And that's he's a huge part of our offense in two ways. Every time we are in shotgun, third and long, he is the pass protecting back and he is the pass catching
back. Yeah.
And to not have that, we've seen just flat out whiffs. And cause that's not the other guy's strength. However, I do think Jam can catch and pass pro. So I think that's going a little, we've seen them go empty a lot. They already been using almost a running back in the backfield when it's an obvious passing situation. So I think that's going a little bit under the radar, and it's kind of a bummer because love Trey Lowe, but it's just kind of a mystery why he's out. And I know that Hayes has a groin injury.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part of kicking. And yeah. That's what I pulled when I was kind of vague on injuries earlier.
That is the exact muscle I pulled when I was kicking. It is difficult.
I know Smith is vague on injuries, but it's just not having the kicker sucks. I mean, it's hard to win in these close games when you don't have a solid kicker. So this is the best defense we've seen in probably 10 or 15 years for Oregon State. I don't want to relive any of the previous ones. and I think we have one of the best corners. Alex Austin is probably the best corner the Beavers have had in there's guys that have been in the NFL too and that currently are in the NFL. And I think he's honestly better. I mean, sometimes I forget he's playing in the game because the offense isn't even looking to throw to his side of the field. One time they did throw to his side tonight, he had a pass breakup.
As I say, now that you mention that, it's like I don't remember seeing five much, and that's probably because the ball never went in that direction. I was going to say something, and I totally forgot, Merrill.
That's okay.
That's a shame.
But anyways, I mean, the defense is just really – I'm very impressed with Bray. And, you know, give him credit that Caleb Williams is a great athlete. Yeah, it would have been nice to get home on the sacks, but they were in there the whole night. I mean – number 90, Sione Loloheya, defensive end, looks like a stud. I mean, he hasn't played that much coming up, but
he looks great. That's why.
And, and then it's like we got these outside linebackers, and I really am impressed with the D-line, props to them. But, again, the secondary is just, I mean, they're playing lights out. It took a perfect game from Jake Haner to be close 2 weeks ago against Fresno. So, anyways, this guy's not falling. It's going to be okay. I'm really glad we got Jam in there, and we can figure out, you know, Jack and Jam or Jam and Jack. I like that combo, you know. Uh-huh. I really, coming out of Utah, I mean, I'm expecting it to be a close game, but probably a loss, tough environment, the whole deal. It's no worries. However, I do want Chance to just have a solid game where he makes some plays. Did you watch the team down south play Washington State today?
I did not know.
So the QB for Washington State, Incarnate Word transfer, I didn't think he was going to be good at all, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But he just made a few, you know, kind of off-schedule playmaking plays at the quarterback position. Like he eluded a few guys and then had a little, you know, almost shovel pass thing going on. Then he had a few sidearm throws and just kind of that playmaking ability that I think I was expecting to see more of Chance after he, you know, had a full year starting last year, and he kind of hasn't shown that real kind of when the play's off schedule, when a defense in his face, he hasn't shown that, okay, get out of the pocket and kind of almost do a scramble drill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I want to see, because if he's not going to do that, it's all good, still like him, but you know, the team's ceiling is kind of in that 8-win capacity, right? If he can make those extra plays, you know, we win a game like tonight, even though he threw 4 picks, we win a game, you know, that we probably shouldn't, and we can get to that next level that I think Beaver fans want to get to, but it's pretty fast to get to that considering where we've been in the past 5 years. So
okay, I remembered what I was going to say, Merrill. First of all, yes, I mean, but I think it might, regarding to Chance Nolan, at least, I would say yes. But again, for some guys, I guess there's just like a limit to what they can do. And I just don't know if that's what Chance necessarily is. Second, regarding injuries, Jonathan's always vague because I believe it is against the law for him to tell us exactly what their injuries are. So they can't do that. He has to be vague. And I can't remember what my third point was going to be. Oh, Cameron Ward, I learned today, Merrill, ran the wing tee in high school. They didn't even let him throw, which I think is funny.
Well, it kind of showed because he could make a lot of plays, but he could not get the ball downfield. They kind of have a unique offense where they're dinking and dunking a ton. A little bit different than the air raid. They've kind of customized it to him. But anything that he threw downfield besides the pass at the very end was not looking. He didn't even try. So, anyways, and again, it's like so much anger. Like, who cares? USC is who cares? You know, like the Beavs played a great game and had the chance to win, and you know we just had one too many turnovers. It's all good. It's not a heartbreaker. Everybody's got to calm down. We were 3-0 in the non-conference. That was not expected. I expected 2-1, to be honest, TJ.
I did too, like I said, and then you got three instead. So now you can afford to lose a game that you were, by Vegas projections, supposed to lose at home, and you did. But you played extremely well, and the opportunity was there for win, and that opportunity will, as this team has played, as we've seen, will probably be there, and the Beavers might take it in one of the games this year that they probably aren't supposed to win.
Sure, and I'm just looking, again, next week, I'm just looking for the improvement in the offense. You know, Jonathan's a huge guy that's improved week to week, and his teams do that. So now the defense is really improved. We can see that. They've proven it for, you know, every game this season. Honestly, they've had flashes. I feel like they put it together, you know, this game. But I really think the offense just needs to improve a little bit, you know, and get there. And so that's what I'm looking for from next week as far as that. And also, this kicking thing, I can't get it out of my mind, TJ. You know, like, it just sucks not having the kicker, but he's kind of there, but the backup's not very good. You know, it's like, it just sucks. It's kind of purgatory. It's kicker purgatory.
Yeah, and it's not the NFL where you can just sign a guy off the street. I mean, you got what you got.
Sure. But, you know, I do, something that I do want to point out, too, is Anthony Gould has been a stud this year.
100%.
He has just the punt. I mean, from his just every time he gets a punt return, he can score. Beavs haven't had a guy like that for a while. Just when he gets the ball, even on that reverse, he made a guy miss, you know, and then when he gets the ball in the open field, it's like, watch out. I mean, he's slippery and he's got that, you know, quick twitch speed. And Silas Bolden had some of that as well. And I hope he gets some more time, gets some more plays called for him, you know, because they got three guys with Harrison too that are really playmakers at those receiver positions. So it's like they just, I think as they go on, and especially without having Musgrave for the foreseeable future, I've heard his injury is pretty significant. Those three receivers need to keep stepping up and kind of look at that quick screen game more. I think they're going to go shorter throws, kind of try to get chance and rhythm a little bit more. Versus, you know, they've taken a lot of these deep shots, which totally cool with, but he's totally a rhythm quarterback. Once he gets in some rhythm, he's pretty solid. But they got to get him in that rhythm with those easy throws. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Utah's defensive line is much, much, much better than USC's defensive line. That'll be a tough task next week. Anything else, Merrill?
I mean, just for the ASU situation down south, TJ, I heard Scott Frost is available. That's all I got to say.
It
would be a painful thing for you. I think Dave from Tumwater would actually have to do a wellness check on you if Scott Frost is there, don't you think?
Well, how about, Merrill, you call in if he gets hired while this show airs, during this season, and we'll have a good discussion about it.
Well, I'm assuming you won't be on the air because you will not be – you know,
not be
in
well.
The right state of mind.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've been worse on the air before, so let's say, you know, you can always fake it.
Touche.
You can always fake it.
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche. Hey, touche. But in short, we got the defense and we just need to, you know, keep improving on the offense because when we get to the Civil War, we'll be fine. And that's what matters. So there we go. Over and out, TJ.
There we go. Appreciate it, Merrill. Always do. A little past midnight here on the Sherwin-Williams Beaver post-game call-in show. Theoretically, we still got some more text to get to, but we got one last caller on the phone line. Again, the line technically is open. If you call in before the show ends, we'll keep going. But Hank is on the Downward Dog phone line. Let's go to Hank. Hank, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. I'm actually just getting home from the game. I was there, and yeah, what a game. I mean, I've been a lifelong Beaver fan and seen some of those awesome USC wins. I was hoping, you know, we would get another one of those at home in Corvallis. Felt like one of those magical nights, but I think Merrill touched upon it right at the end, but I haven't heard anybody else really say it. I think Luke Musgrave, I mean, just missing that piece. Obviously, we had our opportunities for this game, but just that Luke Musgrave, that tight end right down the middle, especially even those last couple drives, having that safety valve for Chance Nolan. Obviously, you know, he made some mistakes, as you've talked about, but I think having that, and even last year, the game he won at USC, I mean, Luke Musgrave and Quentin, you know, they made such a difference, those tight ends being physical. I think if we had him, it's really a shame he wasn't available, and it sounds like he's out for a while. I think that would have really made a big difference. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, big difference of throwing over the middle to, you know, your shorter receivers. I mean, Beavers have, in terms of a full group in their starting line, I mean, a shorter receiving group. So you got to rely on that tight end for that big target.
Exactly.
They don't have the number one option.
Yeah, and I think even on that last drive, like, you know, we touched upon, I think our defense, you know, had the opportunity to stop him, and so that Chance wouldn't even needed it, you know, that we wouldn't have had that fourth interception. But, you know, I think on that drive, it almost mirrored exactly the Fresno State game, that we had a minute left, we had a couple timeouts, you know, we were ready, we still had a chance, and I even turned to my dad. I was like, hey, if we get in the same opportunity with, you know, one play left, are we going to go with Coletto or are we going to kick the field goal to tie it? You know, so, but I think, you know, Musgrave was really key in that Fresno State win. And again, it was just a shame we didn't have him. But the other thing I wanted to touch upon, it sounds like you guys were kind of egging Dave on, but I'm glad Dave brought that up at the end of the game. It was just really surprising. And what was really weird, I don't know if you can look into this, but for some reason, we were at the top on, obviously, the side, and we couldn't even get down. Everybody tried to leave after Chance's interception, and for some reason, nobody could get out. And so then that kind of caused the perfect storm because the USC players came right to that corner where they exit, but they just stopped, and they just started egging the fans on, waving and, you know, berating and just, Travis Dye? He was talking about, oh, I beat you every time, you know, with Oregon and USC. And then three or four players ran to the Beaver and started dancing on it. And I agree. I think it was completely classless and disrespectful. So sounds like you'll bring that up more on Monday and talk about it more. But I just wanted to also throw that in there that I took some video of it, and it was absolutely disgraceful. I know totally things like that happen in sports, but it was very surprising to see that they didn't just get out of there, know that they won a great game, but they had to kind of rub it in our faces and the fans, and just wanted to throw that out there. But again, I just got home, so I'll make it quick, but just wanted to make those 2 points. So
appreciate
thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate the contribution, Nick. How about you send that video to the University Honda text line so I can see it, because I haven't seen it yet. And then I'm sure,
yeah,
like you said, it will come up on Monday, because I'm sure Mike and John, who are both there till the clock, when the clock hits zero, saw that in person, unlike me. So they will have plenty to talk about. So appreciate it, Hank.
Where do I text it? The number I called in?
541-497-5356.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hank.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Good stuff. Well, looks like we have our topic to lead the show, the Joe Beaver Show, on Monday. Mike and John, if you're listening, we got it scripted out for you. We don't need any guests. We don't need anyone to call in. We have our discussion. We have it. We're ready. Okay, let's get to some text messages before we sign off for the night here on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show, sponsored by Sherwin Williams. Of course, if you have any last contributions you want to add to the show, the number to call or text, 541-497-5356, Downward Dog phone line, University Honda text line. Text here from Brian in Corvallis. Hope we aren't overlooking the tremendous defensive effort. I don't think they had a penalty in the game, which I said the same question, but it looks like they did have an illegal substitution, which is pretty minor. Nothing when the play was actually live. Chatfield and Lolo Hay were great on the line. Kyrie's looking like the senior leader we need, and the secondary did very well. I agree with Smith's quote about feeling good if they were told they would only give up 17 points. Atmosphere at Reser was awesome. Great job to the fans. I'll agree with that. Chance did struggle. This is a text from Dan. Chance did struggle and make some mistakes tonight. Those receivers rarely had much separation. Let's not forget that we don't exactly have Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh running out there still. Still hopeful for the season. Go Beavs. Thank you for that, Dan. Let's see. Another text from Merrill. Oh, yep. That was the text. Appreciate that, Merrill, about the substitution. Tyler Texan forgot to mention that might be the loudest I've seen Reser since the 2000 Civil War. Fans did everything they could do to help. It was loud for a crowd of, let's see if we have the official attendance listed on here. I have the stats page pulled up, notes. 28,768. It's a pretty good crowd. That's, I would imagine, in near sellout, if not a sellout. In fact, actually, I think it's over capacity since they sold all the standing room tickets. And I will say the concourses were full. All those standing room seats, people were standing. That's for sure. Let's see. Alex from Grants Pass here. Oh, got a whole legion of texts here. Let's get through these. When Chance threw two straight incomplete passes on that final stride, I had a sense of the impending doom. Sure enough, he threw a pick on third down, and that was the ball game. Don't really understand why they didn't try and run the ball on that last drive. Again, from someone who left. I don't know if they had how many timeouts they had left. Beavs also made Caleb Williams look like Russell Wilson circa 2013. That's a pretty good comparison. When it was easily his worst game of the year, even SC's fans on social media all said that. Really tough one to swallow on a number of levels, but I agree with the other caller. USC won't enjoy the Big Ten as much as they probably think they will. On to Utah regarding Dave and Tumwater's comment. USC has always been like that. LA sports fans are in general are arrogant and obnoxious. I don't think you're very wrong there. I went to school with a lot of LA sports fans. I don't necessarily think you're too wrong on that last sentence. Anything else here I'm picking out? It'll be interesting to see how the USC administrators and the people who balance the books will love the move to the Big Ten because they'll have a lot of money. But you're right. We will see how the players and fans and coaches deal with it, with the travel and such. It'll be something to see. Kurt from Philomath texts in. Let's see, that was from last week. Good evening, TJ. Positives. Great crowd, tailgating, general atmosphere on campus. Best since Mike Riley era, hands down. Griffin provided a great spark at running back and should get a chance to carry the ball more. Defense have made huge strides under Trent Bray. Just need to learn to tackle mobile quarterbacks better. The negatives, Chance Nolan regressed tonight and continues to struggle in big games. And we need to address the field goal kicking situation and how injured Everett Hayes is. Need a reliable kicker for those close games. The miss tonight provided costly. Go Beavs. And then he follows up. We'll echo Tumwater's comments. USC's players were very classless times on and off the field. Overheard USC fans rowing, yelling derogatory things at OSU fans leaving the stadium. Well, that's not very good. Poor sports. Good riddance. Okay. Thank you for that, Kurt. Andy texts in. Travis Dye has not won every time. It's called 2020 and get some gloves. Oh, that's a good one, Andy. Thank you. I always do think it's fascinating that guys have the option to use just the stickiest gloves in the world and they decide not to. Just something that comes up. 808 number Texan, not the reasons the Beavs didn't win, but the ball spot seems one-sided, not to mention the missed holding calls against SC. That SC included in this text message a dollar sign. Thank you, 808. Curtis says, who are our quarterbacks? Well, it's Chance Nolan, I think. I don't think one bad game is enough to bench him. And again, like you said, Jonathan's not afraid to make a change, but I don't think Jonathan's making a change. I think Chance has been too good earlier on this season. Tyler follows up, which I believe will be our last text of the night. Beavers had two timeouts on that last drive, but 73 seconds starting from their own 35. Okay. Well, I don't know how many timeouts they had at that last spot, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Appreciate that, Tyler. It is a late night. Dale and I have been in here, I think, for about an hour and a half now on the air. So I think that will wrap it up for us. I got a video here from Hank. We'll see if I can see that video later. We'll check in on that later. Appreciate that, Hank, and the contributions to the Sherwin-Williams Beaver postgame call-in show. I think that's going to do it for us. For Dale Hummel, I'm TJ Mathewson. We'll be on the air much earlier next week with an 11 a.m. kickoff, the Beavs and the Utah Utes from Salt Lake City. So we'll talk to you next time. Joe Beaver Show on the air Monday at 11 o'clock from the Valley Football Center. We'll talk to you then on 1240 Joe Radio.